Welcome to Pipeline Church, where saved people serve people, found people find people, and growing people change. We're here to introduce people to Jesus and help them become fully committed followers of Christ by doing life together, being irrationally generous, and being the church that the world desperately needs us to be. Welcome home.
Hey, happy Easter, everyone. It is great to see you. Ladies, you look beautiful in your Easter outfits. And guys, thanks for coming. It is great to be together today. And we say, this is the house of the Lord. I don't know. We're outside, but I don't know if it gets much better than this in Visalia on an Easter Sunday around here. What a great place. I just, at the very outset of all this, before I get into anything further, I need to thank all of our staff and our volunteers and our deacons and our elders and our leading disciples and our incredible worship team. Would you guys give everyone a hand for what we went through today? If you are after service mingling around and enjoying your brunch bites that'll be prepared for you and a cup of coffee, and don't take too much because we made all we could today, all right? But if you're doing that and you notice somebody walking around with wet hair, give them a hug and tell them congratulations. And if they didn't get baptized and they just showed up on Easter with wet hair, they did the wrong thing, all right? They deserve to get a hug because they weren't prepared for the day. Hey, I want to just take a couple minutes. We're going to talk about Jesus being resurrected. We're going to take a little different look at it, and I'm sure you're probably thinking, well, Pastor Jeff, we've been around long enough. Your brain works different, all right? We understand that. That's okay. But here's what I want us to do. I want us at the very outset of this just to stop and remember and believe together, to remember and believe that he is who he says he is. And I'm just going to ask you guys if you would join me in a word of prayer, and then I'm going to open up the word. I got a few words to go with it, and then we will enjoy the rest of the day, because really Easter is about the celebration of life that God has given us through his son, and we're going to do that well today. But will you join me in a word of prayer? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your truth and your goodness, your faithfulness, the hope you bring, the peace that has arrived because your son is risen from the grave. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your presence in this city, in this community, in every heart that is here today to declare that you are Lord and Master and King, and you are risen. Father, we just declare that this day is yours. Let everything that is us get completely out of the way, and may your presence rule and reign at every moment for the rest of this day and from this point on. And may this be a marked moment that your Holy Spirit inspired hearts and led people to declare your goodness for a city and a world who desperately needs the church to be what it says it is. And we declare that today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So this morning, I'm going to talk just for a few minutes and share with you out of John chapter 20. If you've got your Bible app or you got, you know, your real paper Bibles, which are making a comeback in the world today, we love that. If you've got those, you can open up to John chapter 20. And normally, I would be telling you things like, on that Easter Sunday morning, nobody expected nobody to be in that tomb. You guys know that, right? See, now the problem is we live in a day and an age where we understand and we know and we've read the story before. And so for us, he is risen sounds like a normal thing to say. But at this moment, at this time, in this place, on this specific day that we're going to read about, nobody expected to find nobody in the tomb. Now, I've been to Israel. And I've seen some things, all right? I've seen some places. And I went to where they say the garden tomb, it's most likely or good possibility that this is the place where Jesus was laid. Like, it's not too far from Golgotha. It's right there. There's a garden tomb. There's a wine press in there. There's all kinds of stuff. It's beautiful. It's amazing. And then they did this, all this buildup. And they said, now you can go and enter into the tomb and see and stand and be where the presence of God raised his son from the dead. Okay, so I'm fired up. Me and my dad. My dad's right here. Cool guy. Nice hat. Sharp beard. All right. We were there, and I'm fired up. Like, we took communion, had a little olive wood cups. I mean, it was amazing. And then they said, now go stand into the tomb. And I got up into the tomb, and it was the most underwhelming thing I've ever experienced. Because there ain't nothing there. There's nothing. It is just stone, and it is a tiny little place. My office is like triple the size of the tomb, I'm going to tell you. Right? It's just this tiny little place, and you can see that there's been people all through there all the time. Like, there's all kinds of things, and I'm thinking, dang, this is it? And I got out, and I remember we went back to the hotel after our tour, and we're talking about it, and I said, Dad, I'm questioning my faith right now. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm wondering if I'm actually a good Christian, because I stood in the tomb, and I was not impressed. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, there's nothing there. And he said, Jeff, that's the whole stinking point. Wake up, pastor boy. It's time to understand. Y'all, there's nothing there. He is the only one that they cannot find his body. The only prophet, the only teacher, the only one that they have no idea where he was. And it's not because somebody stole him in the nighttime and hid his bones. It's because he is alive. So I'm going to pick up into this story because this tells about, you know, Mary showed up and they're ready to bathe his body with spices and all of a sudden he wasn't there and they mistaked him for a gardener and there's all kinds of things that happen in this section of scripture. But we're going to pick up, if I can get back to my notes here, we're going to pick up in verse 19 where it says this. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Pause, please. Nobody expected there to be nobody. We know the story. He is risen. Yay. They're freaking the heck out. They're looking at each other going, oh no, now the man's gone. He's not going to be able to calm him down. Now the leaders are going to come after us just like they did him. We got to go hide. So literally they're hiding in a room, all huddled up, breathing each other's breath. Like, picture that. Peter, bro, garlic, really? Right? They're huddled up in a room, locked together. And it says this, then suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. Okay, hold on. I just read to you. I'm going to go up here. The doors were locked. The door was locked. It wasn't like, hey. You know, it wasn't, hey, he's knocking at the door for you to let him in. No, he just, whoop, there he was. It says that he appeared among them. And here's his words. Peace be with you. Why would he have to say that? Because they're freaking the heck out. Like, he wasn't there, and now the doors are locked, and we know that. And now Jesus is standing in the middle of us, and he says, peace be with you. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. And they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And then he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they're not forgiven. And he began to speak life into them. I'm going to just remind you, everyone in the world is looking for something. Everyone. We're all, you know, U2 sang the song, they still haven't found what they're looking for. And everyone is looking for something. I'm going to tell you, the number one thing that most of the world is looking for is peace. What was Jesus' word when he stepped into that room? He said, peace be with you. Why? Because he is peace. His very presence is peace. Be still and know that I am God. He is peace. That needs a better amen than that. We got one. This is Easter Sunday. He is peace. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. There's a significance behind this. He's bringing rest and calm. He's saying, where I am, there will be peace and rest and calm, and you can trust me. Y'all, if you want to know what the world is looking for, it is peace, and you can introduce people to Jesus, and they will find peace, because that's what he brings. And the story goes on. It says one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. And so they told him, Thomas, we have seen the Lord. I'm going to pause right there. Let me just tell you, he is not only peace, but he is hope. You guys will know the story of Thomas. I'm going to read it out in just a minute here. But can you imagine? You've been hanging out with all these guys for this long, and Jesus shows up in the locked room where everybody's breathing each other's breath, and you missed it? Like, come on, bro. Really? Like, I waited all this time, and then I missed it. It's like that one thing that you've been waiting on, like that one game that you've been watching, and all of a sudden you're like, I can't hold it anymore. I got to go to the bathroom, and you step out, and the game is over because the team scores, and it's finished. I missed it. How did I miss this? This is the one thing that I've been waiting for. And so they said, hey, we're going to translate to you. We're going to tell you, Thomas, he's alive. We saw him. He's alive. I'm going to tell you, he is alive. There is no question. Now, the tone of the disciples was not a question. They stated it as fact. He is alive. They didn't say, we think we saw him. Like, it looked a lot like him. Like, I don't know who else got crucified yesterday except for those guys that were hanging next to him. But I don't think they came back. But he was alive. I think we saw him. No. They said, he is alive. They declared that. And in that moment, it brings up to me too, like, people are looking for peace. But you know, the one thing that humanity cannot live without is hope. Hope. I watched enough survival shows to tell you that when you've lost hope, death is sure to come shortly thereafter. And here's what I'm here to say. When they announced to Thomas, you can have hope because he is alive, they were announcing that the power over sin and death is broken. And you and I no longer have to wonder, like, is there hope? Is there a way? Is there truth? Is there opportunity? No, we can know that there is hope because he is risen. So he is our peace. He is hope. And the story goes on, but he replied, I won't believe, this is Thomas speaking, unless I see the nail wounds in his hand and I put my fingers into them. Ugh. And I want to place my hand into the wounds on his side. Thomas was a bit of a gross guy. I'm just going to tell you. Have you ever had a friend who was going, like, this was always funny to me, a friend of yours going through nursing school? Nurses are the grossest people possibly. They talk about pus and cuts and wounds and all kinds of gross things. I remember Cindy and I had some friends that were going through nursing school as we were raising our children, and they would explain what's going on with the children. I'm like, now you just made it so I don't even want these things anymore. Right? You got Thomas. He must have been going to medical school or something, right? He says, I want to put my finger in the hole. I want to touch the wounds in his sides. What in the world, Thomas? And then it says this, 8 days later, the disciples were together again. This time, Thomas was with them. And the doors were locked, of course. But suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. And what does he say? Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, hey, doctor guy, why don't you go put your finger right here? And look at my hands. Put your hands into the wounds in my side. Don't be faithless any longer believe? And Thomas responds, my Lord and my God. Now, I don't know. It doesn't say right here. It just says he exclaimed. I don't know if he ran up there and he was like, yep, that's a wound. Like, I don't know how it went. Like, they cut that part out. John spared us the details. But I don't know if that's it. Or just the simple fact that Jesus appeared and said, hey, I'll do what you need me to do. If this is what you need, then I am here. If this is what you need, I'm here for you. Thomas exclaimed, my Lord and my God. Now here's the part that I like is Jesus said, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Blessed are those who can see with their spirit and not necessarily have to see it with their eyes. There's a big conversation in the world today, like, why wouldn't Jesus just return and do some miracles so more people would come to know him? And guess what? I guarantee you it would probably happen the same way as it did back then. Some would look at him, see his miracles, and go, nah, I don't think so. And others of us, we would be all in. But God declares, blessed are you who believe and have not seen. Because that's an even greater understanding of what he's promised. And here's the thing. This is my other fill in for you. He is the truth. He's the truth. How'd you know it's true, Jeff? Okay, let's just talk about this. We're talking about Jesus who predicted his own death. Right? You guys remember that. He's been warning them, I'm going to do this, and this is going to happen to me, and this is going to take place. He predicted his own death. Then they watch him crucified. They watch him get stabbed inside. Blood and water flows. There's a whole thing going on. They watch him get carried down off the cross, wrapped up in linens, put into a grave. And guess what? 3 days later, he did what he said he was going to do. And then he shows up in locked rooms multiple days after saying, hey, if you don't believe it, put your hand in my side. Take a look at these scars. I'll prove to you that I am who I say I am. And I want to declare over the church today, we don't have to be bashful about Jesus because he is who he says he is. We live in this I just want to say some things right now. But in this culture where people say, well, you do you. You believe what you need to believe. You get where you need to go. Oh, you just whatever your truth is. If I hear one more person talk about their truth, you don't want to know what I would say. I think there's a sanctified way to say, shut the not heaven up, all right? We're done with your truth. There is only one truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and he brings hope and peace and truth. And I know you're going to go back to work tomorrow, and people are going to say, how was Easter service? Oh, it was great. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Amen. We had ham. It was wonderful. Which it's a weird choice that we would have ham on Easter. I'm just telling you because of the whole, like, clean eating thing with the Jews. Okay, but here's the thing. I'm just going to throw this out there for you. When you go back to your regular life tomorrow and you're doing all the normal things that you're going to do, there's going to come something in the next few days where somebody says, now, do you really believe all that? And y'all, it is time for the church to say we believe it wholeheartedly to the core of our being without question. And if you want to put me down, take my life, take my job, take whatever I got, take it, bring it on, because he is the truth and there is nothing else. I don't have to prove it to anybody. I don't have to, well, chapter and verse says, there's a lot of people who won't defend their faith because they don't know all the scriptures. Here's the thing. He is true. There is no other way. It says this. Sorry, I'm just going because they gave me a couple minutes. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miracles and signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. Basically, John said, I couldn't write everything down, all right? But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Y'all, that's what we're talking about. This is what we're here for. They didn't have to write everything down that he has done. All they had to do was explain to me that he predicted his death, and then he actually came back from the dead and revealed himself to people that he is peace, that he is hope, that he is truth, and that he is alive today. In this place, I'm wrapping it up, just so you know. You're like, wow, this guy's really going for it, right? My moment. I just want to tell you, we are called to be the church that the world desperately needs us to be. We cannot be ashamed. We cannot be bashful. We can't be, he is alive, ? We cannot be anything but firm in our understanding that he is alive. And John says it like this: I could have written so much more, but I think you get the point. And all that I've written in here is just to remind you that he did and he was and that he is who he says he is. He is everything. Enough said. So we wrap up today. And here's how we're going to wrap up today. I'm going to pray with you. Then we've got brunch bites and picture stations and nice places for you to hang out. There's a lot of you here, but here's the deal. Part of Easter is hanging out with the people, all right? So if you're like worried about getting to your car and all that kind of stuff, you do you, but we're going to hang out and enjoy the people, all right? And a lot of people put in a lot of good work to make it happen. So you make sure and get your photo by the photo booth and all that kind of stuff, and make sure that you participate in this day. But before you go, and before you leave this place, I need to know, and you need to know, that your salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. Here's what it looks like. I'm going to pray over the whole church, and then I'm going to lead you in a prayer of salvation if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But this morning, I'm here to declare that he's not only who he said he is, but he's called us to be who we say we are too. And so if you are here and you are a believer, then you and I have to go and be the church to the world that desperately needs it. We have to live out what we say we are. And if you are here this morning and you are far from the Lord, maybe you were little and you received Christ, and maybe even you watched some of these kids that baptized and you said, yeah, I remember that when I was a kid. I was all whipped up with emotion too, and I did that when I was a kid. But then some things happened and life happened and you were all cynical about watching it. I'm just telling you right now, whatever place you brought yourself to this morning, I want us to understand there is only one way. There is only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. And if you are far from him today, whether have never received Christ or you're far from him, then I want you to pray this prayer with us today and know before you leave this campus that he is your Savior and he raised from the dead for you just as much as anyone else. So as we go to prayer this morning, I want you to contemplate in your own heart, where are you? What's going on in your heart? What's going on in your life? Do you need to get some things straightened out? Great day to do it. And allow the presence of God to fill you to overflowing so that you cannot contain the message of the gospel when you leave this place. Would you pray with me? Father God, we come before you right now, and I thank you for your goodness, and I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you that you are working among us and that there is no question that you are Lord of all. We surrender our lives to you. We give you our hearts. We give you all that we have, our strength, our desires, our passions. They're all yours, Lord. Father, would you make us more into your image? And would you fill us with the presence of your Holy Spirit so that we can declare your goodness and your mercy to a world that desperately needs it? with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I'm not going to make a big show and ask you to run down to the front or do anything, because this is a you and him decision. But if you would like to pray the prayer of salvation with me right now, I would encourage you to pray this prayer or something like it in agreement that you're receiving Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, God, I need you to be my one and only God, the one true God who rules and reigns in my life. And Lord, when I look at my life compared to you and your glory, I'm sickened by my nature and my sinful ways. I look at myself and there's stuff that I'm embarrassed about to the point that I don't want to say it out loud. I don't even want you to know or think about it, but I know that you know where I'm at in my heart today. So Father, I've heard the message that Jesus lived, died, and rose again so that I could be redeemed. And we receive you today. Father, I pray that you would forgive me of my sins and cover me in your Son. Let no part of me left hanging out. God, cover me and cleanse me in your righteousness today. I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And Father, there's one more request. Would you fill me with the presence of your Holy Spirit? Just as Jesus breathed on his disciples in that room, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can understand and know and be bold enough to follow through with the commitment that I'm making to follow you today for the rest of my life. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more Pipeline Church content, visit pipeline.church or download the Pipeline Church mobile app. If you like what you heard today, make sure to subscribe and share. Pipeline Church Podcast is available wherever you love to listen.